Welcome to the Kyle and Jim Fantasy Football Extraordinaire. I'm Jim, one of your hosts, and our other host over here is Kyle. How you doing, Kyle?
Bad week so far. I lost my fantasy matchup to my wife. The Packers lost. I lost in my other league. And in the guillotine I'm league in, I lost, so I'm out of that league now. So,
That's the one where you players get moved and dropped. Yep.
Yep. You have the lowest score, you're out. So there was, I made it to the final 14 out of 16. So not very good.
Damn. I feel like this would be a hard year. This seems like a more unpredictable year than normal. Most fantasy seasons are unpredictable, but this one's been a challenge.
I think last week I had the second highest score. So I didn't pick up any players. I'll save my money. And then this week I just boom. I scored like 67 points.
And that is fantasy football, fellas.
It's wild. Just can't predict it sometimes.
Nope.
All right, so let's kick off the show. We'll go right into the fab bet from last week. So 10 out of 12 people got this one wrong. Only Lee and Ashley were correct on it because they had faith in their own teams, and they outscored Jackie and Kyle by 53.54 points. So they whooped some ass there. Congrats on them for sticking with their team. You've both been awarded your $5. Spend it wisely.
If there wasn't a bias for Lee and Ashley to vote for themselves, I would say you should double their money. But they naturally are going to vote for themselves, so I think the five's good.
It's five. I don't want to get too crazy with it and have people have like an extra $150 to spend throughout the year. So five seems like a good amount. And on that note, we'll kick it into next week's question right away. This one is, can Lee get off the schneid this week? He's 0-4 right now. He's playing against me. I just took a pretty big hit to my team this week. I lost Rashee Rice, and I lost my quarterback's number one target all in one fell swoop. Pretty painful. On the flip side, Lee is getting back Devontae Adams and Joe Mixon. Probably, not guaranteed, but so that's the question. I'll put it in the group chat tomorrow morning, and people can vote on it.
Yeah, that was a rough hit to your team, watching Rice go down like that, because, I mean, that's a double whammy. Obviously, you like double to have header. Both of them for the positives, but then the negative is just twice as bad.
Yeah, I got more on that later. We'll get to it when it comes up. But for now, we'll jump right into the NFL highlights for the week. We'll start with the Thursday night football game. We had the Cowboys beating Daniel Jones because they were obsessed with field goals. It's all they did all game. But the Cowboys managed to win. That was our bet. So, Jim, you got some lore handy by chance?
I almost forgot it. I actually went and grabbed it before we got on here. So, I thought more of it was going to be gone. I thought you and the guys were really cracking down on this. A week ago?
We only bet on it one game of bags. I think it was only three shots out of it, yeah.
I was so exhausted by that point, I wasn't paying any attention to anything going on around.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, you were rolling off Friday's actual wedding, too.
Right, yep. No, we were so busy. I still haven't really slowed down yet. We got a couple more days of stuff we need to get done. All right, here's my Malort. I even got a chaser this time, so I don't just taste it for 5 minutes.
It doesn't work anyways.
Oh, it tasted worse than normal. Oh.
Did you brush your teeth right before you did it? That makes it even worse.
Oh, does it? No, I did not. Uh-huh.
So for anyone's counting, that's three Jim and one me. We'll keep track as the year goes on, see if we even out a little bit. So that was the Thursday night football game. We'll roll on into the Sunday games. I'm not going into all of them, but just the ones I found somewhat interesting. So up first, we had Jets in the air and Rodgers just couldn't do anything against the Broncos. They lost 9-10. If you have players in this game, you were disappointed. No one was scoring anything. The weather was kind of rough in the first half, but it was just two defenses stopping what looks to be mediocre offenses. Any thoughts on it?
For one, the Broncos defense is legit. I don't think anyone really expected much out of the Broncos this year in fantasy on any front, you know, defense, offensive players. But that defense might be one of the top three units in the league already. I'm starting to feel Rodgers is might be washed. I don't know. I 3 out of 4 games. Obviously, this one had some weather that caused, I think, a lot of the issues. I think he even had one throw where the ball just slipped out of his hand. He was just like looking at the ground, like, what just happened? So clearly that game, the elements are bothering him. But he's 3 out of 4 games now where he's had some rocky performances, and we'll see if he can turn it around. But right now, Jets look like they're losing that trade.
Yeah, and when the one good game was against the Patriots, you kind of wonder how good it was, because everyone's looking pretty good against the Patriots. Well, except for the Bengals, because week one, whatever, weird shit happens week one. And Rodgers last year in Green Bay wasn't great either, so it's a question. We'll see how the year plays out for him. Next matchup, I had the Chiefs holding on to a pretty low-scoring game. They won 17-10 against the Chargers, so they remain undefeated, one of the few teams still holding on to that. Mahomes kept his interception streak alive. He threw another one this game. The results were very bad. Again, I'll get into that later. And yeah, it kind of looks like Kareem Hunt might be the running back to own on the Chiefs right now, though. He got the majority of the work. That Carson Seal guy fumbled again. I think he just got benched after that. He had no production on the fantasy boards anyways.
Yeah, it was kind of strange because he fumbled. They brought him back in right away. And then he played a couple more snaps. So you would think, like, okay, clearly the fumble wasn't why he got benched. But then after that, they switched to Hunt. And I don't think they even went back to Steele. I think he was benched at that point. So maybe he missed, like, a pass block assignment and got Mahomes hit or something. Maybe that was the final straw. I didn't really watch the game enough. I'm just going off of what I heard. So as of right now, yeah, Hunt looks like the best bargain in that backfield. He had a sports hernia that he played through last year, so a lot of people are worried that he wasn't going to be the same player. And yeah, he's probably lost his step because I think he's approaching that, you know, the 30, age 30 or late 20s where people start thinking running backs lose value. But he's not injured this year. He looked pretty healthy, and he obviously knows the offense because he was in Kansas City for his first couple years of his career. He could be, I don't know if he's going to be like a league winner, but
no,
that's more because I think the Chiefs offense in general is going to be lackluster and they're going to rely on their defense. So maybe you get like an RB2 if he continues getting most of the workload, which, I mean, for what I think Orbite paid for him was nothing. That's a pretty solid deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely RB2 flex type player. I think low end RB2 flexish. Boy, that's useful. You need those people on your team. Buys are already starting this week.
Yep, buys, and the way the injuries are stacking up. Yeah.
Injuries are rolling in too, yeah. Next matchup that I had was the Commanders. They just rolled over the Cardinals 42-14. Jayden Daniels continues to look excellent. He passed for 233 yards and a touchdown. Ran for another one. So what do you think? Is the second year in a row where the wrong quarterback went first overall?
It's hard to say. Obviously, if you're going off of the first couple of weeks, Jayden Daniels looks like he should have probably gone first overall, and Williams should have gone second, at least second pick quarterback. Again, this is a 5-year contract they have these players for. They're not trying to pick the guy who's going to be the best player in the first couple of weeks of the season. I do think the Bears overall have problems with their team built around them. I think we talked about that in some depth last week. And I think with the Commanders, a lot of people thought they're going to have a bad offensive line, but they're playing a lot better than we expected. So I think you're seeing a more cohesive unit, and I think you're seeing a more quarterback-friendly offense around Daniels. He might not have as good of weapons, but I think he has a better nucleus around him, offensive line, better running backs. And I think that helps a lot. And on top of it, his play style right now has been kind of conservative, but he's hitting the deep shots. So if he stops hitting those deep shots, I don't know if he's going to be the talk of the town like he's been right now. But you can't complain about it. I think he's got like the best completion percentage by any quarterback in NFL history through the start of the season after 4 games, which is pretty crazy for a rookie. And that's against the likes of like Tom Brady and Drew Brees. So I think it's going to start to turn on him when defenses figure it out a little bit more. But as of right now, I think you got to be pretty happy if you're a Washington football team fan or Commanders. Jeez,
yeah.
And they're going to change it again. It's going to get bad.
Oh, are they abandoning that name already? That's funny.
Yeah, the new owners already came out and said, like, Commanders is gone. It was a huge flop. No one liked it. I don't know why they even picked it.
Yeah, it was a weird choice. I will say, Yeah, I didn't like that name at all. I mean, I understand why they had to change it. Then the Washington football team's obviously not a long-term solution to your name, but
I still like that more than the Commanders. Something. At least that was kind of fun. It was just kind of a cool name, yeah. The Washington football team. Like, it's different. The Commanders is just boring.
But yeah, he's looked great. Can't knock him. The Cardinals do have a terrible defense, but he's been doing this against everyone so far. Just looking pretty good. So we'll see if he keeps it up. Next matchup I had was the Texans beat the Jags. The Jags fall to 0-4 with Trevor Lawrence still at the helm. I know the coach mentioned, you know, all options are possible. Trevor Lawrence could get benched. I don't know if it's going to happen, but from an outside perspective watching, it kind of looks like maybe it should happen. Do something to change something, because that team's looking really bad.
Yeah, it's obviously not. I mean, I think they're the only 0-4 team left in the league, right? I don't think that was on anyone's bingo card.
They might be.
I believe that's it. And, you know, I mean, I don't think anyone thought the Jaguars were going to be a top-tier team, but I think people thought they could fight for a playoff spot. So to go from, like, mm-hmm. what is probably a 9-10 win team to a 0-4 start is, it's rough. They haven't looked the greatest. I think Trevor Lawrence played better this week. I believe he's going to start turning around a little bit. He's clearly not the generational prospect everyone thought he was. And it's weird because he's kind of lived off the hype of his freshman season at Clemson, because he was just an incredible freshman player. And I've never seen a player like hold that hype and not really perform again up to that level. It was like, yeah, they're almost like hoping he's going to be this generational player. And it's like, yeah, he showed that his first year at Clemson, but he never did after that. He actually was never the best quarterback in college the rest of his career. And it went into the draft. I liked him, but I didn't understand the generational talk. And I think we're seeing that he's just not a generational player. I think he's going to be a solid player. I think you're going to see him probably hover around maybe like the top 10, top 15 quarterbacks in the league. I think he's going to turn around and be that, but it's not what people expected. He was expected to be a top 5 quarterback and a franchise changer. And I just don't think that's going to be the case.
I don't know if I'd even put him in the top 10. It's definitely not worthy of being talked about that right now.
No, definitely not.
If he can turn it on, it's great, but it's wild that he got paid that much money for basically being drafted high. I guess his rookie contract ran out and they just paid him without seeing really much to warrant the payment.
That's just a problem with the NFL. I mean, you could also say the same thing about Love. He had like, what, 6-7 good games and got paid highest player in the league. So it's unfortunately just the nature of the league right now where it's going. The next guy up is going to get the best contract. It doesn't matter if you're the 15th best quarterback or the best quarterback in the league. It's just you're the next guy up. That's how this works. Maybe if you're Pat Mahomes, you nudge out the top guys for a year. But if you hold that for 2 years, you're probably severely overpaid. And the only person probably worth that, multiple people, but it'd be like Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, and it might not be anyone else.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with him. Next matchup I have down here. The Eagles lost to the Buccaneers 33-16. So the Eagles got pretty embarrassed again. Hurts fumbled twice in this one, though one was recovered by the Eagles. So that's 7 turnovers by Hurts in 4 weeks now. Not looking good for Hurts so far this season.
Yeah, he's had a rough start. I still believe in him in a fantasy perspective. I didn't draft him because I thought he was an incredible NFL quarterback, obviously. I drafted him because of what he offers as an NFL or a fantasy football player. I do think not having A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith is a huge, huge downgrade. It's going to be hard to play quarterback in that offense until at least one of those guys is back. You can't rely on a middling tight end to be your number one target. And I think, you know, Tampa, they have a good defense. They understand that. And they played... I shouldn't really say they play, because I didn't really watch the game entirely. But they're going to not try to play the pass at that point, right? They're not afraid of any of those receivers. They can take and stack the box against Saquon, which kind of doubles up against Hurts, because he's not the best passer in the world. And once you take away his offense or his weapons next to him, it's just that much easier to game plan for. And I think that's what you saw. Plus, Tampa just kept scoring. They would not be stopped. Baker was on fire. The whole offense is on fire. And when the other team is on all cylinders like that, they're hard to beat, no matter how good you're playing.
Yeah, it's very true. It's not so much the picks, it's the fumbles. He's fumbled so many times already. And he's kind of always had that problem. You can't even blame the receivers for that. That's something he needs to work on, and I hope that they do. They got the bye coming up, right? They're on bye this week?
Yep. They're bye this week.
Maybe they'll take up a week and mull over. They got a chance to get some guys healthy, too, and come back stronger. On the flip side of this matchup, we had Baker. He threw for 347 yards and two touchdowns, and another touchdown ran in. I knocked Ashley for spending a lot of money on Baker, but he's only had one bad week all season. Every other week has been like great, like probably top three finish every other time. He might be worth $26. What do you think?
I mean, right now he's been worth $26, right? And you have to look at it throughout the whole year, but you're getting, I believe, what, two top five finishes, like a top eight finish, and then I think he had one down week, right? So he had three. If you want to go like top 12 is what you're looking for as like your boom. Anything that's not top 12 is a bust, which is pretty linear. You only get two options, but I mean, he's been a boom 3 out of 4 weeks. That's well worth $26, and I think it's won her weeks. So that's a good investment, even if Baker doesn't really perform well for the rest of the year, which I don't believe is going to be the case. He's definitely one of the top 12 quarterbacks in the league for fantasy, and I believe he's going to stay that way. There's just too many weapons on that team.
I want to see him keep it up. I like Baker.
It's a great story.
Yeah. Bounce around the league and start dominating on your fourth team. I think it's his fourth.
Yeah, but the way like the Browns released him and basically said that they wanted an adult at quarterback. They thought Baker Mayfield was too childish and he was a joke to have like running a team. I think he grew up a lot since he left the Browns. I do agree with some of those takes, but to go to Deshaun Watson and say that your other quarterback was childish, it's just like, what are you guys doing here? So I hope he just keeps throwing in the Browns' face. They deserve all of the negative press they get for that. And Baker, on the flip side, deserves all the positive press. I mean, he's really turned his career around, and it's fun to watch. He's a great player to cheer for. I love his attitude.
Same, 100%. The next matchup we had was the Ravens just absolutely destroyed the Bills on Sunday night. I think this one was pretty surprising to most people. It was surprising to me. I'm not surprised that the Ravens won, but I'm surprised that they dominated like they did. Josh Allen and the Bills looked great. Their defense looked pretty good, but they could not stop Derrick Henry at all, and Josh Allen couldn't get anything going. This is once again what you expected from Derrick Henry when he got there. He had 209 total yards, two touchdowns, and Justice Hill, the other running back there, had another 96 yards and another touchdown. Ravens looked fantastic in this game.
This is what they were doing last year, right? They were dominating good teams in the regular season. I remember they beat the Lions by like three scores, and they did that to a couple high profile teams. Like they even beat the Niners by like two scores. They are one of the most well-rounded teams in the league. They added a future Hall of Famer, Derrick Henry, who a lot of people were saying might be washed at the beginning of this year. I didn't believe that. And I think we can tell after the 87-yard touchdown run where he literally ran away from the whole defense that he's pretty far away from being washed right now. It's validated me because I really thought he was underdrafted this year. So it felt really good watching him. I traded him in my one league. So a little disappointed after seeing that. But I think a lot of their success came at the Bills' lack of having experienced receivers. They clearly have an issue with having just any kind of receiving option that can get open when you need it. You know, that's what Diggs is good for. He can just break down a corner and get open for you in a couple seconds. They have some players that are like that, but they're not on Diggs' level. And I think when you go against a good secondary like the Ravens have, they can take away pretty much all your pass catchers because you just don't have someone that can break the game open at that position. And they're really relying heavily on Josh Allen, who I know I was saying, I think we're going to see an all-timer season from him. I completely changed my tone after watching that game. I know it's a blowout and you can't always take a blowout for what it's worth because sometimes it's just the way the game goes. The other team just got down quick and mentally they just cashed out. That could have been the case. I didn't think that the Bills cashed out in that game. I think they just got beat. But I'm worried about Josh Allen. He's had two games now where he's not really looked the greatest. And I do think that receiving core is going to cause him some issues long-term for this season.
I hope it doesn't. I hope they're not. I know they're not that bad to lose that bad, even if they play it again. I think the Ravens just, they came out on fire. It's sometimes NFL, it's hard. Those kind of games happen to even the best of teams.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to say this is like it's a doom and gloom situation. I just think that like I was too high on it. I see where their weakness is, right? The Ravens showed how to beat the Bills. It's a blueprint. It's not going to be easy to do, though. Not many teams in the league can do what they did.
Most teams don't have Derrick Henry or anything close to it that can yeah. do that kind of thing.
Well, the Ravens have one of the top like three secondaries in the league. So that's what they're designed to do, is shut down receivers.
Yeah. Next matchup I had was we had the Colts beating the Steelers. So the Steelers' undefeated streak is over. Justin Fields threw for 312 yards and one touchdown while running in two for himself. Fields is looking pretty good in his new home so far. But they still lost. It happens. You can have a good game and still lose. Anthony Richardson on the other side of the ball, he left pretty early in the game. He slid, I believe he fumbled, and then Flacco came in and kept the offense moving right along. I really liked that they had Flacco there. It came in extremely handy. I'm surprised more teams don't keep a guy like this as their backup, especially if you're like a playoff contender. So when your guy gets hurt, there's someone that's not just going to lose like the Dolphins are right now. Like, your quarterback goes down and your team is toast. Your offense falls to pieces. Any thoughts on?
Yeah, I agree 100% about the Dolphins side of this take, is that why didn't they sign someone like Flacco? Obviously, this is more about the Steelers and Colts, but that is still baffling to me in seeing how they pretty much just tanked their season off of a multi-week absence from Tua when they could have got someone like Flacco who could have probably kept the team going. That's just negligence on their part. As far as this game, though, I don't really know what all happened. I mean, the Colts just kind of got up early, right? And then yeah. Steelers are playing catch up for a while. You kind of see what happens when you go from Anthony Richardson, who is just chaos, and then you put in Flacco, who is not even that great. Obviously, he had a pretty solid end of his season with the Browns. But this is also a guy who's been on multiple teams the last couple of years. He's not going to stay somewhere and be a starter for a long term. But he offers a level of consistency that someone like Anthony Richardson doesn't do. And you could see with Pittman and Dobbs, I think it's Dobbs, or I can't remember their other receiver's name. Not He's pretty solid too. But you could see how those receivers, they actually have good receivers on their team. You just need to give them opportunities that Anthony Richardson wasn't doing. So I don't think we're seeing a spot where, you know, he's going to get benched like Bryce Young, but it does show like Anthony Richardson has a long ways to go as a passer from watching that game.
I almost hope he sits out a few games and watches Flacco play. Because like you said, number one, it's beneficial to their receivers. They look at that game and their receiver stats compared to look at the game with Anthony Richardson. I like your description of Anthony Richardson. He's just chaos. You can't sum it up much better than that. You don't know what the fuck's going to happen with that guy in there. But he's good. And like you said, I don't think they're not benching him like Bryce Young. They want to develop him. It sucks that he barely got to play last year and go through some of that.
I think he's only at 17 starts in his whole entire NFL career, or his whole entire football career.
Yeah, as a quarterback. In college, he had the same. He barely started in college as well.
He started one season. I don't think he started the whole season. And he played, what, two or three games last year? And he got injured, and he's only played a couple games this year. I know it's like a crazy number. It's like 17 starts, and it's just, I think that's unheard of. So he's got a long ways to go to develop. He's not like Bryce Young, where they're like, oh, we got someone we know is going to come in. He's going to be ready right away. They knew Anthony Richardson is going to take 2 to 3 years to develop. If he hits his peak, he's a Cam Newton.
Hopefully lasts a little longer than Cam Newton did. He burned out fast.
Yeah, the shoulder injuries.
Yeah, well, when you play that aggressively, that can happen. But Anthony Richardson hasn't been doing that too much. Been the one time he did, he got hurt again, so they might tell him to.
I mean, he's been injured like in, what, 5 or 6 NFL games? He's been injured and knocked out of 3 or 4 of them. I mean, there's some concerns there.
not a good track record there.
No.
And then the last matchup, I guess we kind of mentioned it, but the Dolphins just look pathetic without Tua. They lost 12-31 against the Titans, and the Titans don't look like they are a good team even. This one was weird. I mean, when Tua got his big paycheck, I think he got paid right before Love, so he was the highest paid quarterback for, 3 weeks. I scoffed at it. I thought it was dumb, but apparently it was the right thing to do because that offense does not function without him there. It went from a high flying A plus offense, or at least a A offense, to just a D minus F, barely belongs in the NFL offense. It's wild.
This was the offense most people targeted in fantasy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this might be your poster child for why you pay these quarterbacks as much as you pay them, because Tua, no one thinks Tua is an incredible quarterback. I would imagine if you made a line and say this is an average quarterback, Tua's a little bit above that. But he can get the maximum value or near maximum value out of your weapons on your team. And below average quarterbacks, it doesn't take very far to get below that line for you not to be able to run your offense. And that's scary. So there's a reason why these quarterbacks are worth so much, even if they aren't the game changers that the top guys are, and they're getting paid as if they're a top guy. They still are incredibly valuable to an NFL franchise.
Yeah, it's a perfect example. Got to pay the guys. Yeah, if you're not, that's an incredibly hard position. And if you're running scared and don't trust your O-line and don't know how the whole offense works and know your receivers and trust them to make the right thing, it's, if any one of those things doesn't click with you, it's going to show up. And it is showing up in Miami right now. So we kind of skipped over these matchups. We're going to do a dedicated thing to it. We got the NFC North, as we always do. So we had the Bears. They beat up on the Rams. They beat up on the beat up Rams, I should say. Rams are still pretty hurt right now. But Caleb Williams and the Bears looked pretty okay this week. They finally got their ground game going. Swift went for 165 total yards and a touchdown. I own Swift. I love to see that, even if it was on my bench. It was good to see the Bears get a ground game moving. A lot of those yards were, about half of them were passing yards, screen passes, that kind of thing. But it's still good to see them do something with that, because they've had nothing to show on their ground at all so far this season. And I think it's really going to help Caleb Williams out. I'm curious what they look like once they get all their receivers back in the lineup too. Any thoughts on this one?
I didn't watch the game, so I don't have a whole lot to say about it. I think you're seeing Swift's potential, though. I know last week you were talking about how Swift was someone you wanted to get rid of in the most desperate way possible. You probably gave him away for
pennies
on the dollar, and now, like, hey, you probably want your dollar back, right? He's incredibly gifted in short space. He's very agile and quick. He doesn't have the best top end speed, but he has those other characteristics that running backs, to be successful running back, you need. And he's a good pass catcher too. His biggest issue is he just has bad vision at times. He can just go two games in a row where you're just like, what was he doing? And I saw some people like showing some of the things he was doing in the Bears. I'm like, oh, this is exactly the same thing he did with the Lions. It's nothing new. He just never got better. And that was what the big thing with him coming to the draft was, if he can learn that, he's going to be one of the top 5-10 running backs in the league, and he just never got there. So, yeah, you're going to have some big blow-up games from him, potentially win a game like this. From what I heard, he was the player that carried the team. It wasn't just like, oh, you know, he was just there. He was like the cog that made the whole thing work. And, yeah, they beat up on a banged-up Rams team, which helps to have a weaker opponent, but they're starting to play pretty good. I think they're 2-2. The defense is legit. We knew that going into the season. And then we just need to see Caleb start putting together some good games and just keep improving on that. And he might eventually get there. Still a little rocky. Still wasn't great. But he still has the potential to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league if he can put it all together. So I'm not going to wait for it to happen. But I'm still a little scared that the Bears have even a player that of that caliber sitting back there and could be a great player down the road.
I hate it that he could turn into that. This division's already fucking hard enough as it is right now. We don't need the Bears being dominant as well.
I think it's the best division in the league, right? Well, I don't think there's another division that stacks up against it.
Probably not right now. So that'll lead us on to the next matchup. We got the Vikings beating the Packers. The Vikings stay 4-0. Packers move to 2-2. Jordan Love is 0-2 this season, while Malik Willis is 2-0. If anyone wants to start the bring Malik back chance. But Jordan Love played a good game. This game was kind of a tale of two halves. Jordan Love came back. It looked bad the first half, but he wound up throwing for 389 yards and 4 touchdowns. Can't really complain about it, but he accompanied it with 3 interceptions. The Packers also had 2 fumbles, so they turned the ball over 5 times this game, and they missed 2 pretty easy field goals. Not easy, but like 45-yard type field goals. Don't have much more to add. The Packers almost came back, but they couldn't get it. The Vikings, when you're up there that at the halftime, you kind of get the opportunity to come back. The Packers tried. They missed a couple of picks that they should have had, and they might have got it. But you can't turn the ball over five times and win in the NFL. The fact that it was even close is honestly pretty surprising.
Yeah, this is the one game I wanted to watch because the Lions were playing on Monday, so I wanted to make sure I watched this game just to kind of know who the two competitors are for the Lions and how they look. I came away from this game with no changes in opinions. I have no clue what to think. It was just complete chaos. Like, the Vikings get up real big, and then it looks like Sam Darnold tries to throw the game after everyone's saying, oh, Sam Darnold returned to being a good quarterback. He had like two or three plays in that game that are like, those are game-losing plays, and he was willing to dish them out to the Packers. The Packers just didn't take it and yep. do anything with it. Jordan Love as well is like, yeah, he can do some crazy things. He's got everything you want as a quarterback. But there's just some mind-numbing plays that, you know, some of those interceptions were just terrible passes. I know at the end, you know, he was just chucking the ball up to try to make it come back. And that's kind of what he did last year until they started getting leads. Then he started playing more controlled. But early in the season, they kept getting down early. And then he would just go to like hero ball and start chucking the ball up in the air. This game, I'll give him the credit. He needed to do it to try to get him back in, and he almost did. So there's, you know, some positives for that. But it was a mixed bag overall because, I mean, he's also the reason they got down so far in the beginning, too. Could be that he's a little bit injured. He was playing well even with the injury. You could tell he didn't have full strength back in his leg. He was nursing a little bit. He was not trying to put pressure on it, and he was still throwing dimes. So a lot of this could be chalked up that he was injured. But now you have two games, both with big excuses, obviously injured in this one. The other one is the really muddy, wet game in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
So I want to see another like two or three games for Love, but I would, if we see another game or two like this, I think buyer's remorse might set in. And no to everyone in the chat or the texting over the game, do not put in Malik Willis. He's not better than Love. He had like, what, 84% of his first reads was his pass attempt in his two games as a starter because he can't look past one read. Like, the guy cannot look past the first player. That is prototypical for a terrible quarterback if we could build up the worst quarterback. If you can't get past your first read, you might have a game or two that looks good, but you'll never be successful long-term in the NFL. Love can get you to your third and fourth read. Willis can't. This would have been a lot worse if Willis was starting.
I don't think anyone's saying that with a serious face. It's more just an in-jest. It's funny.
It made me laugh when I was watching the game. I just kept to myself and just kept reading my chat. There was just another one and another one. I don't know if it was Lee or Scooter. I don't know who it all was, but everyone was just having fun.
Well, we had to do something in the first half because we
it was rough.
Couldn't do much else but laugh at ourselves as we assumed we were going to get our asses just fucking handed to us. I will say, Jordan Love, the one pick at the end of the game, that was a comeback one. I don't really blame him for that. Another one of his, because that's just, you got less than 2 minutes left. You got to get a touchdown now. If you don't, you're fucked anyway, so you chuck that. If it gets picked, it gets picked. You hope your receiver makes an awesome-ass play. You know he's going to be, you know there's going to be multiple defenders there, and there's a high probability of it gets picked. Another one was just, one guy tipped it. Into another guy, he tipped it too, popped it up, and then, you know, I don't really blame him for that pick either. It's not a bad throw. It's your player didn't catch the ball, and he, instead of it hitting the ground, it pops up in the air, and the other team comes up with it. Shit happens.
I don't remember the picks individually that well. I just remember being disappointed in some of his throws. I mean, like that throw that got Watson injured. I mean, that was just a medicine ball. It wasn't even a throw.
That one shouldn't have got thrown.
And then he had a couple other ones where he was just off timing. And that's the same stuff I saw in the Eagles game. It's just he wasn't like 1, 2, 3 ball out and it's like it hits the dirt. It's like, no, that's a routine pass. It's just things that quarterbacks should be making regardless of the conditions, regardless of the injury. If you can't make those passes because of your health, you shouldn't even be in the game. And that's one thing that concerned me earlier. I think he got into the swing of it later on. So maybe it was just trying to learn how to play with the injury in an actual game. Took him a couple drives and then he settled in. That's maybe what, I mean, we'll just say that's probably what happened. It's what it looked like what happened. But yeah, the book's still out there on him. We still got to see a couple more games.
Well, we'll get to see plenty more. Not with Christian Watson for a while, though. We got enough other wide receivers. We'll be okay. The last one we had was the Monday night game. Lions, they win against the Seahawks. The shootout. I don't know what's up with these two teams, but every time they play, this exact thing happens. Just no one plays defense. The teams just score. They rack up at least 50 points every time they play. I mean, as total points. It's wild. For two non-division teams that don't even play each other that much, it's weird that it always happens when they do. But Goff looked... It pains me to say it, but Goff looked awesome this game. He didn't have a single incomplete pass. He went 18 for 18 for 292 and two touchdowns. I've shit on the last 2 weeks for turning the ball over too much. Maybe listens to the pod and he didn't want to hear it again. So, but yeah, he had a perfect game. But I don't know what to say. The running backs looked great too, both of them, and really everyone on the Seahawks side, their offense looked great too. It was a fun game to watch.
I was reading the Reddit like game chat because I do that sometimes. It's just fun watching your reactions. And someone like after the Lions scored was like, "Holy shit, this is a high scoring game!" And the Lions went up to 35. And like, there's multiple comments like, "This is the lowest scoring Seahawks Lions game we've seen in a long time," because they do like they're literally. I think the Lions and Seahawks have both scored 50 points in some of their previous games, and they both I think scored 40 in some of them too. So these guys just they forget how to play defense when they play. I do think a little bit of the Lions defense just got gassed because the Seahawks were kind of doing more checkdowns and keeping the defense on the field. The Lions were just scoring three plays. I mean, they were just not, there was no defense in front of them. It looked like they pretty much at will just moved down the field, chunk play after chunk play, and a bunch of yak on those passes from the Goff. That's probably the best offensive performance of any team in the NFL this year. And that's just how good the Lions offense is. There is no weakness on this team. If you go through how many of these players do you think are on fantasy? You have Amon-Ra St. Brown, you have Jameson Williams, you have Gibbs, you have Montgomery. All those guys are really high up in their positions as players you want on your team. Obviously, Laporta's had a down year so far, what we expected, but he still had four catches for 54 yards, and he is at a position that hasn't been good across the board. So it's not really just him doing that. It's everybody. So much talent. And then you add that you have the best offensive line in the league. If you want to argue it, maybe we can say a second best behind the Eagles, but I think most people at this point are picking the Lions as the best offense or best offensive line in the league. And Goff doesn't even have to be that great when you have all that around you. It's just, he is, when he's protected, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league with the best offensive line. That all just kind of comes together, and you see it in games like this every now and then. When they all come together, everything's moving, it's nearly impossible to stop them.
I mean, like you said, it's only 18 passes. To score 42 points with only 18 passes is pretty wild in and of itself. But some of those,
they just pass.
Yeah, they're giving the ball to Montgomery, and he just bounces off four guys, and then he fucking houses it or takes it another 30 yards. It was a wild game to watch. It was, I think besides the Packers-Vikings, it was the most fun game I watched this week.
That was really entertaining.
Yeah, pains me to say it, but yeah, the Lions look pretty damn good right now. Hard to find any flaws with that game. Well, besides the defense, I guess they allowed a lot of points, but like I said, that's what those
even then, if you watched it, you could see the Lions are getting close to making plays. Like Hutch would get close. They'd almost get a pick here. They would get him into third and longs, and then it would just be some crazy play by Ken Walker, or it'd be some crazy play by Geno Smith. They had to just do things that made them look incredible, right? Like, you know, the Lions are just like 1-2-3 pass, guy breaks a tackle, gets it. Was just like methodical, easy, you know. There wasn't a lot. The Seahawks struggled almost every part of that game until the near end, where I think again the Lions defense was gassed near the end, and that's when the Seahawks started to put up points. But then the Lions would just match them every time, so they never really got within more than a score.
They get within one score, and then the Lions would get back up ahead two, and then get back within one, they get back up two. That was most of the game.
Yep.
And some of them, like you said, it was like two plays in, they get Jameson Williams on a crossing route, and he takes it to the house. Like, well, that was a fucking short drive. Two plays.
Was that the first play or the second play? Yeah.
It was very early in that drive. Yeah, it was first or second play. The drive was just over. All right, defense back.
As soon as I saw that catch, I'm like, there's no one near him, because I watched the beginning of the play unfold. I was actually watching St. Brown, because I always sometimes will pick a player. He's like, okay, I want to watch what this guy's doing. And I could see how the safety took him. And I was like, oh, as soon as I saw the catch, I knew the safety wasn't there. So I knew there was no one in front of him. I knew that was seven. He was high stepping at the 30. He knew he had a touchdown at the 30. I was like, I haven't seen someone high step at the 30 in a long time. That was impressive. And he was still barely getting caught.
Yeah. I think there was one guy he had to get around, but he was kind of already cutting the wrong way. So he didn't have a shot at it.
Nope.
But yeah, that's the NFC North. We got the Vikings at 4-0. The Lions are in second place with 3-1. And the Bears and the Packers are tied for last at 2-2. Hopefully we can get the Packers out of that last place spot this coming week. So that'll roll us right into the next section here. We got the fab spending. The big spend of the week this week was Wandale Robinson, a wide receiver for the Giants. He went to 16 to Lee. The next highest bidder was 12 for Poor Boy. There were four bidders on this one, so he was a hot ticket item. Everyone, quarter of the league, third of the league. I don't do math live on air. Four people bid on him. He was the big hot pickup. It's getting consistent, low mid production so far. I give this one a thumbs up. It's a wide receiver that might get points. That's extremely valuable in a league where we start three wide receivers and a flex. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's kind of like a bye week fill-in guy. You don't have a crazy upside with him. They throw a lot of passes to him, like near the line of scrimmage or just like short passes. He's used more of like almost like a running back, receiving running back role. So not a lot of upside, but if you need something steady in a lease situation, he can use all the steady players he can get that are not on IR. I think it's a good bid for him. It just gives him a steady, you know, seven, maybe you'll get like 12 points every now and then, but you know, you're going to be around that number every week with Wendell Robinson. I was actually shocked to see how targeted he was, just because like last week it seemed like there was multiple receivers that were better than him and no one bid on him. I don't know why he was such a higher commodity. Maybe just because of the week was people are starting to look at buys and stuff and think, oh shoot, I need to get somebody. Maybe that's part of it, but yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up.
People still believed in their wide receivers after week two, but after week three people start to question things. And like you said, if he would have gone for 25, I wouldn't have given it a thumbs up. But I think it's a good value for what he is. 16 bucks is, you can't go wrong with that. And he gets open because they got Malik Nabers on the other side getting double covered with a safety over top, that kind of shit. So he'll get targets and he'll get some passes and some yards every game. Next up, we had Cole Kmet, the tight end for Chicago. He went to $6 to Poor. There were no other bidders. Tight ends are tough. I don't mind it. I just didn't give it any thumbs. I don't think he's going to get a lot of points. You might get zeros out of this guy, but that's tight ends in a nutshell. It's hard if you don't have a reliable one, and almost nobody does this year.
Yeah, he came off of a really good game, right? I believe he went to like...
I think so.
The 15th tight end to the fourth tight end after one good week, and that's pretty much been how the tight end position's gone all year. So you're taking a flyer on production. A lot of times I don't like chasing production, but with how bad tight ends have been this year, you got everything you can to find a solid starter. And Cole Kmet, high draft pick, young rookie quarterback who could be really good. He's got a lot of things you look for in a solid tight end, and he might be one of the better tight ends by the end of the year. So $6 to just see what it is. Yeah, no other bidders, but I don't care about that as much. $6 is good for Cole Kmet.
Yeah, for $6, it doesn't matter if there's no other bidders or not. You can't feel ripped off with that. Next up, we got Emmanuel Wilson. He's the running back for the Packers behind Josh Jacobs currently. He went to $4 to Mike. No one else bid on him. He's looked okay. It seems like he's splitting carries with Josh Jacobs. You know, one guy's in for a while, the other guy's in for a while. I give this one a thumbs up. The only concern I have is when and if Marshawn Lloyd gets healthy. Marshawn Lloyd's been the epitome of unhealthy so far. I think he missed most of preseason. Missed the first game, came in for the second game, got hurt again, now he's out. I believe he's on IR, so he won't be back for a little bit. But for the moment, he's a running back you can start. He should get you some points rather than take a gamble on a donut if you're throwing someone in your flex spot. I gave it a thumbs up because it was only $4, and it's a running back that can get you a few points if you need it.
I mean, if you have any validation on a running back, even if he's a backup, if you think that he's an injury away from being a starter, he's valuable. That's just how fantasy works. So Jacobs, I think he's the bell cow there. I don't think he's going to be a guy who's going to split a lot of carries. I think last week they just were up so much, they knew that they could just preserve Jacobs in the long season. Running backs take a beating. Let's get Emmanuel Wilson. I didn't know the split carry difference for last game, but that's also a weird game. They got down so early. I wouldn't really think Jacobs would stay in as much. So Jacobs, we might want to wait a week or two to see how prominent he is as the lead back. In the meantime, taking a flyer on Wilson, like I said, the backup running back, he looks solid so far. I can't fault anyone for putting a couple dollars at a guy that they like. That, again, is an injury away from being a much more valuable player.
Yeah, for $4, you can't go wrong on that. The next one, we got another running back. We had the Bears running back, Roshan Johnson, $2 to Ashley. No one else bid on this one. When I wrote this up, it was before the Sunday games happened, so I have written down Swift looks like a complete bum. For $2, she might have the starting running back for this offense. Granted, not a great looking offense, so I had given it a thumbs up. This may have completely changed. DeAndre Swift finally had a good game. They might still get Roshan Johnson involved more, but when I wrote this down, it looked like he was getting more and more involved while Swift was getting less and less involved, like they did not want to use him anymore. We'll see what happens going forward. It's $2, though. I still give it a thumbs up. For $2, you got a running back that might be a 1B kind of guy, might even be a starter at some point.
I actually bid on him. I said no other bidders. I know I bid $1 at least. Maybe I might even bid $2 and then actually beat me on waiver priority. I kind of liked him.
Could have been like you had the same person getting set up to be dropped for two different trades. Maybe. I don't know.
No, he was like, I put an offer in.
Okay.
But anyway, he was a solid draft prospect. He came from Texas. He was actually Bijan Robinson's backup. So he was like one of those guys that his value was a little suppressed even in the NFL draft because it was like, well, we never really seen him carry the whole workload. And be behind someone like Bijan Robinson, you're never going to see the field. But he saw it enough. He showed enough flashes to get drafted, I think, in like the fourth round. And he's a very good all-around back. Swift definitely has the burst that you want to see in like a starting running back. I don't know if Roshan Johnson has that to be a long-term starter. He can always be a guy, though, that can grind you out tough yards. And sometimes those are the guys that just end up taking over a backfield because someone like Swift, even though immensely talented, he has lapses in his judgment when he's running. He doesn't always take the best path. I mean, he runs into his offensive linemen sometimes. And Roshan Johnson's kind of that guy who's just, he might not get you 10 yards all the time. He's going to probably get you 6 out of a run that Swift might get you 10, 15, but he's going to get you 6 way more than Swift is going to get you 15. And most of the time when Swift doesn't get you 15, he might be getting you 2. So he's just like that guy that just keeps turning out at above average runs. And he could end up being a better player if their offensive line's better. But I think he also needs the offensive line to be more cohesive to be a valuable target. But again, he's a flyer just like Wilson. You see what you got after a week or two. If it's not coming what you want, drop him, get the next running back, and just keep going through it.
Yeah, for $2, can't go wrong. She just made $5 this week, so she's still net positive $3.
There you go.
And she got Roshan Johnson out of it. The last one I had, and I didn't look at Saturday or Sunday, so if anything big happened those days, pardon me for missing it. But Geno Smith went for $2 to Scoots. No one else bid on this one. I put down, we finally have a reasonable bid for a quarterback, so I gave it 2 thumbs up. Scoots needed somebody. He had Anthony Richardson. Geno Smith's been looking all right, capable. Nothing fantastic, but he has weapons, so he has a chance to go off for some good scores. And generally won't sink you like Richardson tends to do most of the time this year so far.
He's a Walker touchdown or two away from those touchdowns himself having a way bigger night, and we might be talking about him as a legitimate starter all year round. Right now, I think he's still at that kind of borderline top 12 quarterback, and those guys you can kind of go in and out of starting. He has all the talent around him. I mean, the Seahawks are kind of like a poor man's, I don't want to say poor man's because I don't think that's really even fair, but they're very similar to the Lions. They have 2 really good running backs. They have 2 really good receivers. They even have a 3rd receiver that's really solid. Mm-hmm. And I always forget his name. He's the hyphen name. Guy from Ohio State. I know Jackie has him on her team.
I know who you're talking about. Oh, Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, Jigba. Yeah. So, like, they have three really good receivers. So Geno Smith is going to have a good season. The hardest thing is that they have a defensive-minded coach who has shown in the first couple of weeks against lesser opponents that they're just willing to just run the rock, not really even test the air. It's just kind of how defensive-minded coaches like to approach games. And that's where I think it limits his value. But if they let him open it up more, like against the Lions, yeah, he's proven that he can be a 20-plus week scorer every week he does that. So he's a great backup, especially when your starter is not performing.
Yeah, I know there's at least one throw. It was like a 40-yard, should have been touchdown pass, but yeah, DK Metcalf just kind of, he tumbled near the end and the ball fucking slaps the ball on the quarter-yard line, you know.
Right.
Almost touchdown pass, but instead he hands it off to Walker and he runs it in.
Exactly. That's all. That's all him, but he doesn't get the credit for it. I mean, he gets the 50-plus yard pass, but yeah, he should have got a touchdown too, which completely changed your perception of his week.
Yeah, but when you got a guy like Walker, that happens often when you get down there. You trust him to get it in most of the time. That one wasn't through the middle. I think he tried to go up the middle and bounced outside and still got in. I remember
I remember it
very distinctly because Jackie had Walker and I had DK Metcalf, and I was like, a fucking course.
That was probably a
touchdown robbed for me and handed to my opponent, of all things.
You're feeling great going into halftime. Right?
No, she had me. That happened in the first half, I think. Yeah, it was looking like a comeback was possible, but then, yeah, Kenneth Walker just started dominating. What are you going to do?
This one went a little long, so we're breaking it up into two sections. Thanks for listening to the first half, and tune in for the second part. Talk to you soon.